The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
This is our heart cry this morning. This is our heart cry this morning. Too many things are going on around us that want to take away our gaze from you. Too many things are happening around that want to take away our gaze from you. But today, we stand in your presence, saying, help our soul that will keep gazing. That will keep gazing. That will keep gazing. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Can we say amen? Can we say amen? I believe we prayed that prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I perceive the Lord is rejoicing over our soul and calling our attention to know that in this season there is all that it takes to stand is available. Amen. Amen. Do I have a witness? Pastor Favor, do I have a witness? All that it takes to stand is available. And the Lord is calling our hearts to pay attention. If only we can pay attention, we can get all that it takes to stand. Amen. Daddy had taught us Ephesians chapter 6, how to arm ourselves with the whole armor of the Lord. Amen. Let's quickly jump into the teaching this morning. We are on lesson 100. Eko Ogorun Kai Sweet. And the title of this is Preparing the Way for Salvation, Part 2. So last time we met on this platform, we were looking at preparing the way for salvation, part one, where it was well established that for the Savior to come, there will be a forerunner. Hallelujah. Now, I will start by saying that God does not just do things accounted to be afterthoughts. Everything that God does has been pre-planned. There is nothing that God will ever do that He has not planned in His eternal counsel. Amen. Hallelujah. The whole coming of salvation, I love Psalm 90 seriously because that scripture, just that one chapter, chronicles the thought of God from eternity. How He wants to save man. Hallelujah. But let's read our manual for today. Amen. The testimony of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist's preaching of repentance, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand, was to prepare the mind of the people for him that was to come. So the Savior who is bringing salvation will have a forerunner that will prepare the way and the hearts of the children of Israel to make them partake of the very provision of salvation which He is bringing. Now, we know that salvation is not just for Israel, right? But to the Jews first, and then to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. Do we understand? So meaning that salvation is meant for man, humanity. Amen? But some people are to be the first receiver. And through them, we should all as humanity receive it. So that was the promise of Abraham, right? That through him is going to bless all the families in the earth. Okay? So God is interested in the whole world, but is interested firstly in his people, the Jews, to then pertain the fathers. God has spoken that he wanted them to come to salvation and to be the first partaker of the provision of his son. So they are like the forerunner for man. And whatever God does, he plays it out in his thoughts and what he's doing. For instance, humanity is supposed to receive salvation, right? But the Jews are supposed to be the forerunner. So for salvation to come, there has to be a forerunner. Do you understand that? And why would there be a forerunner? Do you know that before John, there have been so many forerunners, and they have declared the things that should forerun salvation? We have been treating that now. All of the studies we have been taking before now, at some point you see the importance of the scriptures, at some point you will see the writings of the prophets, and today we are still going to look at the writings of the prophets. Amen. You see, all of those writings, they are forerunners for what is coming. Because God does not want any man to have excuse to say, I don't know about it before. And the way God will have it, he made sure that the scriptures of the prophets were preserved. Amen. They were preserved. You know, there are many books that have been burnt on the face of the earth. Some religion, when they enter a place and conquer the place by war, what they do first is that they enter the library and burn it down. Every book, none must survive. Do you know why? It is easy to change history when books are not existing. I don't trust all of this soft copy stuff. It's easy to change soft copy. It's not easy to change hard copy. It's not easy. So there have been so many forerunning messages. And let's see one of those messages this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. I would like us to read the scriptures from verse 1 so that we can get the context. Comfort ye my people, said your God. Speak ye comfortably to who? To who? And cry unto her that our warfare is accomplished, that our iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all our sin. Who is this scripture talking to? Is talking to the Jews. Is talking to the children of Israel. Amen. Now see the next thing. The voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Let's read verse 5. And the glory of God and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all what? Are you reading with me? All flesh shall see it together, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Hallelujah. Amen. So the point that we see in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 4 is for who? That particular promise, you see, he's saying, comfort ye my people. You see that? And he said, say ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Yeah, it's for all flesh in verse 5, but first Jerusalem. Do you see that? So, to the Jews, it is not strange to expect the appearance of a God, and a highway must therefore be prepared to usher him in. So for them, they know these things. They have read Isaiah over years. They know of all of the prophets' writings concerning a Savior that must come. We read Malachi the last time, Malachi 3, verse 1, the last time we met here. And all of what the Lord wants to do has been scripted. So to them, it was not strange. You remember when they went to ask him, they were asking him specific questions. Are you the prophet? Are you the one who is to come? They were asking him, indeed got to a place, they said, are you the Christ? Eh? And John confessed. And deny it not, and confess. That's one of the scriptures I like most. After John 1:1, I like that one also. Amen? Hallelujah. So, they are aware that something is going to happen before the Savior comes. They are aware. So, John came to prepare the hearts of men a highway in which their God is going to be revealed in their heart. Meaning that when you hear the valleys shall be lifted, the mountains shall be flattened, and the crooked way shall be made straight. You see, that thing is not talking about Mount Everest. It's not talking about the valley that we can see. It's talking about our heart. Is talking about the soul of man. Who is that scripture talking about? Because it is inside the soul of man, all of those gullies, all of those valleys, all of those erosion, all of those crooked places exist. Amen. And there must be a bulldozer that will come and make an highway. Because the Lord must ride prosperously. It must be accounted. You see that psalm that says, ride on prosperously. It must be accounted that it came to pass. It's part of the scriptures around this. Amen. And in thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. I think there is a place there that says that the arrow is sharp in the heart. Thine arrow are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemy, whereby fall under thee. You see these king's enemies. They are not away from the church. They are not outside us, actually. The king's enemies are in us. And for him to ride prosperously, his arrow must be sharp in the heart of his enemies, which dwelleth in us. Hallelujah. Does that make a spiritual sense this morning? Isaiah 40. Verse 5, The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, before I move on, I want to emphasize that John was meant to help the Jews. The Jews were his assignment. Because if the Jews will not receive Christ, it will be difficult for the Gentiles to receive him. John was not sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to the Jews. That is said, repentance is for the Jews because they had a law before they turn out of the way of that law. So they are the ones that can repent of their transgressions, of their sins. Remember, you know, most of us, when we came into Christ, it was confess your sin, repent from your sin. No, that's not accurate. There is no template. We don't have a template. It was the Jews that had that template. For us, we are to believe in the work that Jesus did. We are to believe that he came, he lived among men, he was crucified, he was buried, and he resurrected according to the scriptures. It is on that basis that we have a ground to confess. And what we confess is not our sin. What we confess is what Christ has done to bring us into his salvation. Do we understand? Okay, so let's move on. The Lord himself is the one speaking to prepare the people and give men the necessary help to discover that the Savior who is bringing salvation has come. So what the Lord did for his people was to send John so that he can help them to know that the salvation is here. What was his cry when Jesus walked among them? There was a cry. John made a cry when Jesus walked among them. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of the Lord of God that take away the sin of the world." Amen. Declaring that to the Jews, they should quickly recognize it. Actually, they should have recognized it even without John. But because they have fallen out of the law, remember, the law is the shadow of Christ. And when you trace the shadow of a thing, where will it lead you to? It will lead you to the reality of the shadow. If a light is shining against a tree and you are at the other side and you see the shadow of the tree and you are following the shadow, you are following the shadow one step at a time, very soon you will be able to see the tree, you will see its stems, you will see its branches, you will see the leaves and the roots, if indeed you float the shadow. But Israel, they have fallen into the ground, into the class of ignorance and them that are out of the way. So they needed help to be shown the salvation that is coming and that he is come already. If there were no temptation, chance that they might miss the Messiah, there will not be any need for them to be prepared. Do you get that? At the point where they were, even with the fact that they were shown, many of them fell from the temptation that the Lord was trying to prevent. Can you imagine? Malachi stated it word for word, point blank, from verse 1 to verse 3, Malachi chapter 3, stated it blankly. "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And Lord, whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Point blank. Amen. And then, if you read on, you will see that the purpose of his coming was to purify the house of Levi. And for what reason? So that there can be offerings in righteousness. Yet, with John, many of them, till they killed Jesus, they didn't believe that it was the salvation that was to come. Hallelujah. So God therefore sent John to make ready their hearts to receive what God has provided in the way that he has provided it. You know their problem, their temptation was that they were expecting a Messiah. And if you say Olugbala, for instance, you say Olugbala in the ears of a Yoruba man, the way they will see the person, must be powerful, must be a great man. Must be a great man. A man that will talk and fire will come out of his mouth. That's the way they see Messiah. They don't ever believe. Then the other side is that they are expecting somebody like John. You know the case of John. Somebody who eats wild honey and locust. Somebody who is dressed in bajaj skin, right? Somebody who is not wearing what everybody is wearing. Amen. Somebody who is not speaking the way everybody is speaking. All of us, we are wearing this kind of clothes now. If you see somebody who is wearing the description of Aaron, with his whatever, and his gown, or skirt, and his tie is giddo. They were expecting somebody like that. But God helped them. If God did not help them, I tell you, I lie not, we may not be having what we are having today. Amen. Are we being blessed? So God has helped humanity so well by making it easy for them to believe in the Son of God and for everyone to be saved. Now, if a man is deciding to say, I don't believe you, that man decided to do so. It's not that there is no evidence. There is one song that somebody wrote. He said, evidence full everywhere. Indeed, evidence full everywhere. What am I trying to say? We will soon begin to see all of the evidences right from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation. We'll begin to see the evidences popping up everywhere. Amen. So there shouldn't be a man who will be doubting God in this age, who will be doubting the salvation that God brought in this age. There shouldn't be one. If you hear it for the first time, you should ask, that thing you are saying, what is the proof? And by the time they are opening the scriptures to you, you should know. I saw a clip yesterday. A guy was doing role play. Somebody came. He was the same person. He came and he said, the Bible is a book written by men, not by God. Then, acting this, the other person, he said, Bible was written over 2,000 years. And begin to bring out proof. This one will talk something opposite. It will bring out proof again. By the time I was done with the video, I said, with these skits on the Facebook reel, people should know that there is evidence everywhere in the scriptures. But some people will still close their eyes and say Bible has been corrupted because it was written by the hands of men. The guy said, God, by the Holy Spirit, took men to write it. They didn't just write it by themselves. As some men will want to argue, You see, when we say these things, sometimes it will look, why are you saying it again? You have said it before. There is something hearing it again and again does. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. David said, once have you spoken, twice have I heard. Daddy said something. He said that twice that he heard. May not be the second time he's hearing it. For some people, it will be the 100th time that is being said that it will now make sense to us. Now imagine if that was repeated 99 times and it was not spoken the 100th time. That means somebody has been cheated. Okay? So if you are saying it again now, that the scripture is enough evidence for what work of salvation that God did through Christ. Hallelujah. Some persons may protest that Jesus never called himself the Son of God. Indeed, he never did. Daddy mentioned a major reason why he never did yesterday. He said because of the reference, fear, trembling. Okay? But he has enough strength to say, thou say it, when somebody said it. And saying it at that point was also from that reference point. Was from that same reference point of fear, of awe for his father. Amen. Indeed, he never did. This is because God has sent enough witness, Abba. When you have enough witness, why should you come and trouble me to say that, are you the Son of God? Don't ask. Maybe you are searching the scriptures. Search the scriptures now, but know that in the center core of those scriptures that you are reading, it's me that is there. Do you understand that? With that statement, did he say he's the Son of God? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. But he didn't say, I am the Son of God. Every other places he referred to himself as a son. Son of man. Hallelujah. So this is because God has sent enough evidence, enough witnesses, and confirmation to ensure that he does not impose himself on man. Can you see that? Part of the fear was that he should not impose himself on man. He did all to bring a guiding light to man, for it was compulsory that before the coming of the Messiah, a great prophet will have to appear to the children of Israel. Do you know that God is the one who created our will? Do we believe that? Now, if he created our will and gave it to us as a tool for living, why should Jesus come and impose himself on us? God plays by his rule. He will not come and impose himself on man. What he will do, he will give evidences, witnesses, do what he wants to do, and judge. Because he will not leave himself without a witness. In any generation, he will not leave himself without a witness. Are we together this morning? Are we being blessed? One of the confirmations that God gave to man. Malachi was said to be one of the minor prophets, right? But the way he summarized all of what the major prophets have done, if you get to Malachi, you will see it just straight to the point. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Why will he turn the heart of the father to the children and the children to the father? Because Hebrew 1 must be fulfilled. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. He didn't speak to the children. He spake to the father by the prophet. But in this last day, spoken to us, do you think the us there are children? The us there cannot be children. Eh? What reason do I have to say that? Chapter 2 of Hebrews talked about verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect the so great salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, by the very mouth of the Lord, and was confirmed to us unto us by them that heard him? Do you think it was everybody that was around him that heard him? By them that heard him, he's talking about the witnesses and ministers that Luke talked about in the book of Luke. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Amen? So, God has to send John to turn the heart of the father to the children and the heart of the children to their father. Because how does curse come to the earth when there is a generation gap? When humanity cannot continue. And that's the race of some people right now. They want to cut off humanity as God designed it. They want to turn everybody to robots. Eh? So how God can reach to the children is by the fathers. And if there is a disconnect, the children will not hear God. Amen. Hallelujah. Daddy was thanking the pastors yesterday. I don't know whether you hear it, but I heard it. That they give commitment to the teaching of the house and not go to somewhere else to go and source for messages to teach the flock. That is communication between a father and his sons so that the children can partake of the grace of the father. I don't know whether you saw it like that. That was what I heard. As Daddy was saying that, that was what I heard. So when John came through his father Zechariah, it was a clear communication of the scriptures. It was not difficult for the people to accept that indeed God has provided a guide for all Israel to expect the Messiah. So whenever the Jews saw John the Baptist, it raises their hope that the Savior is near. Let's quickly go to that scriptures. Luke chapter 1 from verse 67 to verse 80. But let's take it one after the other as it is in the study. Let's read 67 to 74. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Can we read the next verse together? And as raised, and the last verse, do you see that? A prophecy confirming another prophecy. So one prophecy foran another prophecy. Daddy was teaching us this house of David sometimes ago, that the house of David, it has to be the house of David because Gentiles must also come in. It is not in the house of Levi. Because if it is the house of Levi, the Gentiles have no right. Because the kind of priest that you have must be a washed and clean, complete priest who does not have wrinkle, who does not have spot, who does not have one eye. And to the Jew, Gentiles are worse than a priest with one eye. Do you understand? Abomination. That is the meaning of Gentile. Eh? Even the Samaritans that were around them, they were still Gentilic to them. Not to talk of, does anybody even know Africa at that time? They only know Ethiopia. Amen. So, the conception of John signified that it was the time for salvation. Immediately John was born, it was clear that salvation was around the corner. The Savior and the Lord whom they sought has come already. Amen. Hallelujah. You can see all of the circumstances around the birth of John. How somebody is not believing Gabriel, who stand in the presence of the Lord and say, give me a sign. When you are supposed to be saying, how shall this thing be? Seeing that, you know, just like Mary said, seeing that I know no man. His own could be, seeing that I am wax old and my body is dying. Abi? That should be, it was the same Gabriel now that brought the news to the two of them. One went dumb. Eh? The other one kept these sayings in her heart. Eh? Verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Amen. So it is the Lord, the Yahweh, who is coming, the God of Israel, is coming as the Savior of his people. He's the one that is coming as Joshua. When Daddy mentioned that thing yesterday, I trembled in my heart. God knew Moses would not enter because it had to be Joshua. God, our salvation, that will usher them in as a sign. See what I heard? As a sign that it has to be Yeshua that will bring all men into the promised land, which is so great salvation. Amen. This had been established before Jesus came. He did not come to impose that on man. Jesus didn't come to say, I am the Savior. He didn't come to say, if you don't serve my God, I will slit your throat. It had already been spoken. John the Baptist was meant to give the light of salvation unto the Jews by the remission of their sins. That same place, 77 to 79, let's just read to 80 together. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people, can we read together, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. 80. And the child grew and was strong in the spirit and was in the desert. Can you imagine? Till the day of his shewing unto Israel. Can you imagine? They brought a child just now. And daddy prayed for the child. All of a sudden, the child grew. The next thing, he's living in the wilderness. You know, sometimes I play some things in my head. And then all of a sudden, he just reappeared. Hail. He was expected to guide their feet and help them to come into the way of peace, which is the way that all men left. Remember, I said that the other time. For the way of peace are they not known, as written in Romans chapter 3, verse 17. Humanity never knew the way of peace. Because why? Their entire heart is filled with wickedness. Amen. And all nations have been trying to find that path for themselves. For John the Baptist was expected to guide the feet of the people into the way of peace when he came. So when he was born, his father prophesied concerning this. Let's quickly read the last portion and then we'll interact on this. The prophecy of his child, his father, in the scriptures revealed him. He was raised and prepared as a prophet who God had to reveal as he returned from the wilderness. Do you know the meaning of revealing? To reveal is to make understand. Okay? He came back to the people and Israel. He went straight to Jordan and began to baptize, preaching, teach. Baptize, preach, teach, and awaken the hearts of the people towards what God was about to do. All of this was showing him forth as a guide and a help who will enable man to see what God has provided. These are just things to prepare the way for salvation. Amen. And if God will invest this much, and we are seeing it in this day, we have no excuse to say that we doubt what God did. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, one thing that just making us to see is that the intention of God from the beginning is salvation. And they made it so clear that, you know, God wanted the Israelites to be the foreigner, the firstborn. And that was why he gave them the oracles and he spoke about Christ. Now, they erased Christ from the Jews. Okay? But you can't actually say Christ is a Jew. Who is the father of Jesus? God. So, but he just used them as a template to show forth the mother care is a Jew. Where do you belong to? Do you belong to your father or your mother? Your father. He used the Jew as his mother, but he himself is the father. So that's why the salvation is meant for everybody, not just for the Jews. Till now, some Jews are still expecting the Messiah. Yes. That's their blindness. And I was just looking at the whole thing and I felt like, okay, this is the wisdom of God. If he had permitted them to come into that understanding, they will own him. And the Gentiles will not have a place. So God had to shut them down out of the whole thing. So that there's something they call the time of the Gentiles. So that by the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, they will come in a very fast way because they already have preparations. But this season now is the time of the Gentiles. So it's just telling us that there is a time lag. It's not forever program. It's a program that has a beginning and is gradually running to the end of the time of the Gentiles. So what God is telling us this season, he spoke about it before Jesus came. Now he's saying again that we should not behave like the Israelites because they did not believe it. When he said, they heard. The prophets spoke. They read in their Torah. They read in the laws. But upon the whole thing, some of them were hardened. They did not believe. And same thing we are going through today. You know, have you ever wondered, I want to say, We thought they think God shoot them. No, they are like all mankind. That's why we can easily forget what God has done. That's man. Because, ah, Lord, I thank you. You've done me so well. Next week, you are wondering, is there God? No, what happened? Man. That's man. But God wants us to know that there is an intention. Everything that happened, he knew it was going to happen. He knew Moses was not going to enter. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. So he has made preparation. Because who, the person to bring salvation is Yeshua. Is Joshua. God is bringing them into the land. Now they are taking us into a land which is called God, which is salvation. And he's saying, we can journey. We should not behave like the Israelites. But they couldn't enter. But now we are hearing, we are to enter. There's always, there's a time like this. There's a way they program the whole matter. Nothing is new. We're in the time of prophecy. But we should know in our heart, this is the time for us to run and enter. We have heard, there's no excuse for any man. Whoever does not get to salvation, it's not because God did not plan it. It's because the man decided to ignore everything they have shown to make sure that man gets there. So we have a responsibility to lay hold on salvation. Every single one of us, we're hearing, we should not behave like them. You know, their time is going to come. But you know how long those who have died before the time comes. So don't ever think like, God knows everything he's doing. He has planned everything. And he has brought us out to come and learn of him. We should not take that coming for granted. We should come with a heart to come and know God and follow God with all of our hearts. So that at the end, we'll be part of those who are saved. Praise the Lord. So they have time. We have our time. We're in our time. They're telling us this is it. Painting it. Everything is written in the Bible. We are living a time of prophecy. As we are settled in the Bible, we know that God has spoken about everything. We are just living it out. So please, let's apply our hearts to this thing and let this understanding dawn in our heart. Let it sit. That is, it will be as clear as what is your name. And you are not thinking. It will settle. And that is what they want. Thank you.
Can we do that very well? So this morning is a duty that we have to engage to believe the writings of what the Lord has done of the prophets preparing man for salvation. Amen. Can we pray this morning? We trust God. We will not fall out. Some Jews did. We will not fall out. We will not be blind. We will not be blind in this season.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.